Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
More on Evander Kane coming up. But as you can tell by the music, we're going to talk some football for the next few minutes. On Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690, Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, David Trent Dewey is here helping us out. And, one of the great things of the Super Bowl and leading up to the Super Bowl and in the immediate aftermath of the Super Bowl is to relive previous Super Bowls like we've been doing, right? Since the last week of January, like yesterday was the anniversary of. Do you remember this? Of course.
I'm proud to be representing African-American coaches, to be the first African-American to win this. That means an awful lot to our country.
Tony, congratulations, and I know you would love to hand that off to Peyton Manning right now.
And that's been our theme all year. We have won as a team. Everybody did their part. There was no panic. Nobody ever gave up. We stayed calm throughout the entire game. Truly won this championship as a team, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
There you have. Rather historic moment. Peyton Manning's first. Tony Dungy, opposite coach. Lovie Smith, two African-American coaches. Tony Dungy, first African-American to win the Super Bowl. Devin Hester with a kickoff return for a touchdown. It was a big day, right? It was a big day. Today, the anniversary today. Do you remember the Giants beating the Patriots 21-17? February 5th, 2012. Wasn't that long ago. Remember that one? What do you remember about that one? Very quickly. What do you remember about it? One moment in that Super Bowl. Come on, something must come to mind.
Well, the Manningham catch along
Manningham.
The sideline.
Everybody forgets about Manningham. Greatest catch ever. Manningham made a pretty darn good catch. Anyway, the point I'm making is we've all been able to, and those of you who were born after some of the early Super Bowls, like Rod Francis, who's almost addicted to the NFL Network, you can see all these great games, except the very first Super Bowl. Here to explain why we can't see Super Bowl I, even though somebody has it. We're going to the great state of Virginia right now, and it's an attorney in Norfolk, Virginia, Mr. Stephen Harwood. Stephen, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I was really laid up badly with the flu through the weekend, and I was flipping around in search of something interesting to watch, and I saw you. How's that for a lead-in?
I hope I made you feel better.
Well, it really piqued my interest. I saw you on CNN for a couple of minutes. You got to tell this story why nobody has seen, almost virtually, nobody has seen Super Bowl I after it aired.
Well, sure. Well, back in 1967, Game 1, it wasn't called Super Bowl I at the time. It was the NFL-AFL World Championship game. If you go back to 67, if you remember, the leagues had not yet merged. The NFL had been around since 1920. The AFL had been around since 1960. So this was a big event, but it was not yet called the Super Bowl officially. It
right.
was referred to it on the broadcast. But so what happened was that CBS broadcast the NFL, NBC broadcast AFL games, and in the wisdom of Commissioner Pete Rozelle said, both stations, both companies can broadcast this game.
So it was CBS, a simultaneous broadcast?
Simultaneous broadcast. Both CBS and NBC broadcast the game. Neither station saved the tape. Back then, they had these videotapes, and they just taped over it, and who knows what got destroyed. And, you know, those tapes of the CBS-NBC broadcasts were permanently erased at those stations.
Imagine that.
However, the father of a client of mine had the ability to go and record the game, and he went to his office and on 2-inch quadruplex tapes recorded the game on the CBS broadcast. And he put it, after the game, he kind of just put him in a box, put him up in his attic in Pennsylvania. And they stayed there for about 38 years until my client kind of came across these and asked his mom. His father had passed away by then, and asked him, like, what are these? He said, oh, yeah, your father left these, thought maybe someday they'd be of value. And so we have a copy of these, a copy of the CBS broadcast of that game.
So now, now, as you're talking, I'm thinking technology 67. You explained what he was using, but I'm thinking this must look rather primitive. Am I wrong?
No, you are right. It was primitive, and we certainly, I didn't, my client didn't have the equipment to, one, kind of, you know, convert that tape into tape that we now use today. So we contacted the Museum of Radio and Television in New York City, which is now called the Paley Center for Media, and they were great. They assisted us in finding the experts who can take those tapes that were 38 years old and, you know, save them, fix them, tweak them, and convert them into the media that we can use today and can now show the game on, you know, currently.
We are chatting with Virginia attorney Stephen Harwood, who represents somebody who has in possession the tapes via CBS broadcast of the very first Super Bowl. This is like vintage Green Bay Packers and Kansas City Chiefs. Packers won the game 35-10. Several Hall of Famers, including Bart Starr, in the game. And so, again, this went like nobody knew that these existed, and nobody was raising questions about, you know, how come we haven't seen... How come we never see any footage from the first Super Bowl? Did it not dawn on anybody that the reason is because your client's dad had them? And did he not tell anybody?
Well, he unfortunately passed away probably in the mid-70s. So it just, you know, wasn't that big an issue. And interestingly, you know, nobody, my client didn't know he had these until about 2005. And though people were looking for the tape, I mean, people don't know that, you know, they may be stuck in some box in some attic because some parent taped it in 1967. And interestingly, in 1987, the Paley Center back then was saying, you know, there are tapes and shows that we're looking for, and one of them was Game One. Back in 1987, they were looking for that. So, you know, did you go to your attic? Did anybody go to their attic? Nobody had the equipment
right
to record these things.
And there are stories every few years of, like, the Guthrie family, right? Nora Guthrie working for her late dad, the legendary Woody Guthrie. Still, people are uncovering stuff and forwarding it to her because there are very few live recordings of the legendary Woody Guthrie, and she has she's been able to discover some of them lately.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago on Major League Baseball brought together, well, showed the tape of Game 7. Of the 1960 World Series between the Yankees and the Pirates, because that tape had also not been around, but it was discovered in Bing Crosby's archives when they were doing an inventory of his archives.
He was former owner of the Pirates, was he not?
He was a minority owner of the Pirates. He was out of the country the time that game was being showed, so he somehow had the equipment or arranged for it to be taped it, you know, threw it in his basement somewhere, and, you know, 40, 50 years later, some archivist was going through his materials and said, Game 7 World Series 1960? I don't think anybody has seen this.
Bill Mazeroski, first World Series ended on a homer by Bill Mazeroski with Stephen Harwood, attorney in Virginia, on the very first Super Bowl. Packers beat the Chiefs 35-10. We'll get to the money question in just a second. Mitch Gallo?
Well, the NFL basically prints money, so I'm just wondering, I figured... with the history of the league being right there in your client's hands, why hasn't the NFL just presented a blank check and said, here, fill out what you want? Because that's what I would do if I was in charge of the National Football League.
Well, good. I will try and send your resume up to Roger Goodell and see if we can get you in charge of that department.
That's a hell of a negotiating tactic.
So I'll bring you along when we meet with them to discuss this. Frankly, I don't know. I mean, we spoke to them years ago. They said, hey, great, we'd love to have it, but we're not going to really pay you much for it. You know, we don't really need it, but who knows? I mean... I think it's extremely valuable. It's got, you know, pregame discussions with Jack Whitaker and Ray Scott about the relevance of this game. It's got some post-game discussion with Pat Summerall, as well as, you know, the game itself. And it's just, it's vintage stuff. And I would think the NFL wants it. We spoke to the Packers. We spoke to the Chiefs. And they all said, yeah, if you want to send it to us, we'd love to have it for, you know, our Hall of Fame and, you know, stick it here, but, you know, nobody seemed to be willing to cough up some dollars.
And go ahead.
Right, I mean, the NFL is a $10 billion industry. The money to buy this stuff is nothing.
Yeah. And so is there, there must be, do you have any idea what it's worth, you know, conservatively speaking?
Well, you know, the definition of what anything's worth is what, you know, a willing buyer is willing to pay a willing seller for something. So, but in 2005, Sports Illustrated did one of their little, gee, it would be great to find these particular sports items out there. And they said, Game 1, Super Bowl 1967, is probably worth more than $1 million. More than $1 million, which seems like a lot of money, but it's the equivalent of what 7 seconds, 7 seconds of commercial airtime cost Sunday night for the game.
Attorney Stephen Harwood in Virginia on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Right?
Stephen, I just think about what a coup it would be if a network, maybe a cable network that's not affiliated with the league, could meet with you and your client, get this footage, and put on this incredible marketing campaign around the rebroadcast of Super Bowl I. That, I'm sure that would scare the league to some degree.
Well, it would scare the league. The league would probably be threatening litigation because they will take the position that it's their broadcast. They've got copyrights, ownership to it, and would prevent anybody else from showing the tape.
How about if I send $250 and you send me an audio file of Jack Whitaker saying anything? That's worth $250 to me. Jack Whitaker is a legend. He's still around, right? He's like, he must be pushing 90. Go ahead.
He was on the CNN interview Sunday morning. He followed me, and he said he's never seen this tape. He, you know, he did the broadcast, but he's never seen a copy of it. Never heard it, and would love to sit down and see the game and review it.
I didn't see that part. I'll tell a Jack Whitaker story in a second. We got to run. Stephen Harwood, attorney in Virginia. I wish you the best. This is, you know, I'm hearing the story in detail. I mean, the NFL. I mean, geez. I hope this works out and we all get to see it on the NFL Network one day. Thank you so much for this.
That's our goal. Thank you very much for having me on.
Our pleasure.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.